This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
Monster Energy, welcome to Rockville Returns, April 29th and 30th at Metropolitan Park with Def Leppard and Soundgarden. Also featuring A Perfect Circle, Mastodon, Chevelle, Papa Roach, Seether, 3 Days Grace, Alter Bridge, Coheed and Cambria, The Pretty Reckless, Highly Suspect, Nothing More, and The Offspring. Welcome to Rockville. 2 days, over 40 bands, on 3 stages. Tickets are on sale now. Head over to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com for GA, VIP and package tickets, additional information, and more. Welcome to Rockville, fueled by Monster Energy Drink.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by director Keith Sutliff. Keith's newest film, Mason Brothers, is out now. Keith, how's it going?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Hey, doing well. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be on here.
Oh, you're welcome. So, man, I just want to thank you so much. I know it's been kind of a little bit of a back and forth with us doing this interview. And, man, I want to just thank you so much for your patience. And I'm super excited to talk about your newest film, Mason Brothers. It's actually, I misquoted myself, it's actually out next month, the 14th. And this film, I saw the screener for it, and it's really, 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 really good. I guess I'd describe it as a crime thriller. Tell me, I guess, what kind of got you the concept of this story? Where did it kind of arrive from?
Yeah, first of all, I write all my scripts for all of the same genre for the most part, all crime thriller, crime action, that type of genre. Those are films I always loved growing up as a kid, watching so many good, great films, Point Break, Untouchables, Reservoir Dogs, Scarface, Goodfellas. I mean, there's so many gangster movies that were out there, and I love those. So heist films, those types of films are always the gangster movies and heist movies are always my favorite types of movies. I've always wanted to tell a heist movie or a heist story and make one. And I thought, well, for a first feature, that'd be a great way to start out. And heist movies always sell. I don't know any heist movie that really doesn't sell. There's always an audience for them. People always like them. So I was like, well, I was just kind of thinking one day of a certain way I could tell a heist story, and I thought of, well, it'd be good to tell a story I don't think it's ever been told before of a group of tight-knit brothers that go hit a bank for, it's the last thing, bank heist before they get out of town. They hit this bank, they hit every bank in 3 minutes, $10 million at this bank. And at this bank, they get set up by these other guys, and it results in the death of one of the brothers. And based off of that, it sets up the whole plot line for the movie. We're trying to figure out who set up this bank, the mastermind, who the main guy was behind, who told these other guys, these other group of criminals to show up at the same time the brothers did and had to shoot out with them. So I thought, you know, it's really based on these three brothers and one guy that wasn't engaged. It's like a close family friend of theirs. And it's never been, I don't think, told that it shows, you know, personality. Help the story because of what happens at this bank. It shows, you know, afterwards, you're seeing as the whole story unfolds, like how they respond and react to the death of the brother, you know, personalities, see more about that. And, you know, it's a story about family and revenge really is what it's about. So I don't think it's ever been done before, and I wanted to tell that. That'd be really interesting. So that's kind of how I just kind of thought of it, man, you know.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. Where did you get your start in filmmaking? Because I know that you've got kind of a rich resume, and, you know, this is something that you seem tremendously passionate about. Where did you first get your start in filmmaking? Was it something that you always knew you wanted to do?
Yes, I knew I always wanted to get into filmmaking and something in the, you know, directing or acting or something involved in film as a kid. You know, I grew up, one of my favorite movies of all time is Terminator 2, and that Aliens, Indiana Jones, all those movies were great, and that really inspired me to be involved in movies and stuff, and I never really got into it and got a chance to move out to L.A. into the filmmaking part. However, when I was in Florida, Tampa, Florida, I tried a little bit of acting stuff to see what that was about, and then I came out here, and like most people, I was trying to break into stunt acting, who was really my main goal. And then I did the acting for a year, the audition stuff, just to see what that was all about, and I was trying to get into it. Because, you know, most people, when you see a movie, the first thing you see is the actor. You don't know all the other things behind, you know, you don't know about a DP, director of photography, assistant director, grip, you know, all those different positions. I've always wanted to, and also make movies, I've always thought it would be great to direct films, too. So anyways, I went to a film school and I was out here after about a year and a half, 2 years, and then I don't doubt I'm making those shorts. I just started continuing to make a few shorts after I graduated the film program, and I opened my LLC, my company, and made this first feature, and that's kind of how it all began. I've always had a love for it since I was a kid. It wasn't until I came out here that I really had a chance to go to a film program, you know?
Wow. Man, that is awesome. That is awesome. I know that, you know, and you mentioned this before, just kind of going back full circle. I know that, you know, crime thrillers have always been kind of your thing. What draws you, I guess, or drew you to that genre of, I guess, of film?
I don't know. I think it's just the best answer for that is the, when you watch those movies, and it's funny, you know, that we brought it up because I was watching this movie, Live by Night by Ben Affleck, directed and starred in it. I was watching last night on VOD, and great film. I didn't finish it, but it was a really good film so far. He did a great job in it. But even that film, and that was the first time I was watching it last night. If you look at all those movies with what are heist movies or gangster movies, the thing that attracts me the most about it is it's the characters. It's cool because the personalities and the swagger these characters have are unlike most characters you see in any other type of stories or movies. You know, you look at the Scarfaces and the Goodfellas, the Untouchables, Reservoir Dogs, like all those Point Break, you know, that's a heist movie. But you look at all those characters and they all have a specific personality. And it's a really, like a badass, cool personality. And they have some swagger to them. It's just, those have always been the type of characters I thought would be cool to tell stories about and put on a big screen. And they attract, you know, there's an audience for them too. So, yeah, I don't know. That's just kind of what draws me to it the most. And I just love heist movies. And they're entertaining. You know, there's action and stuff. So, you know, the action involved. And they're always unique stories. So that's why I like them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you remember, I guess, the first film you worked on? What were your emotions and your thoughts, you know, in doing so? Were you afraid? Were you anxious? Were you super excited? What was going through your head when you, I guess, worked on your first film?
Yeah. Are you mean as far as like directing and producing my first work as making a film, or just like acting in a movie or like stunt work?
Yes. I guess directing and producing.
Okay. Yeah. My first actual, because I didn't get into that after the whole stunt acting and stuff. But anyways. Yeah, you know, it's different. It's there's a lot more responsibility. So you're always, it's fun. It's a bittersweet experience. That's the best way I'll put it. You love it at the same time, but also on the other flip side, you're kind of, you're managing so much, unless you have a huge crew, really, really helping out a lot more with other things, a good AD and stuff. You know, you're trying to keep things on track as far as the time and stuff. Be helping out with, to make sure you don't go over budget. So there's a lot of, I guess you could say, stress. A lot of stress is just financially. You know, you could waste if you have to go back and reshoot stuff the next day or add an extra day. That's a lot. That's thousands and thousands of extra dollars of money. So, yeah, the pressure's on, but on the other side, you love it. You know, so that's the biggest thing I took away from it. But it's pretty cool in the sense of you put something on in writing on in a script, and you make it, you know, you put it like bring life on a camera, you know, on screen. So it's really exciting, but also it's kind of this, you know, that pressure of getting things done on time, so you're not going over budget. So, yeah, but you love it. I mean, it's more gratifying and better feeling making your own work than being in someone else's work by far, and especially seeing the final product, definitely by far.
Absolutely. What would you say, I guess, is like the biggest misconception about, you know, filmmaking and kind of like the world of film? Because I know that you've done work in both, you know, in front of the camera with acting, and then, you know, of course, of recently, you know, behind the scenes with directing and producing. Would you say that, I mean, because I know personally, like, a lot of people, they feel that it's so glamorous, and they don't, I guess we don't equate, like, the struggle and kind of, like, all the work that goes into, you know, making a film such a success. But you yourself, you know, being so, you know, I guess engulfed in this industry, what would you say, you know, I guess is the biggest misconception in your own opinion?
Yeah, definitely. That's a good question. I was thinking about that yesterday. Because, you know, before I moved out here into Los Angeles almost 5 years ago, I didn't know, you know, really what this industry was about and stuff. And when you see red carpets, you see all this stuff, you think, oh, these people are super rich and, like, you know, they're really wealthy, all these actors and people showing up on the red carpets and going to these premieres. And in reality, like 99% of those people, even the actors, even some of these TV actors or, you know, some of the crew people, a lot of these people have secondary jobs. They're not rich. You know, they're not, you'll see articles of people published, like small articles of maybe, you know, an actress or an actor who, or like an actress who's maybe in a few different, in a few episodes of stuff, like a model or something like that. And you think, oh, that person's super rich. Not necessarily. Probably working a secondary job. It's not as like, you just have that conception. You think that it's, everyone's rich and they have all this money and they're living the life. But it's not really true. A lot of people have secondary jobs in the industry. But I mean, then there's those people who are just full-time freelance, you know, I have friends, obviously, that are freelance DPs and grips and stuff. That's what they do full-time. But they're struggling, you know. It's not like they're not making a great living, and a lot of them aren't, you know. So that's a big exception. I'd say, you know, there's a very small percentage who are working, you know, full-time in the industry and making a great living. That is one thing I didn't really realize when I came out here. So that's one thing, man. And, yeah, and I think a lot of people, there's a lot of sacrifices for sure for some of these films to get made. People miss, I mean, I know me personally, I miss holidays, things, social life, things with people, so you're putting so much time into stuff, and that goes to any project, so I can really appreciate anyone who's done a feature film, the time, dedication it takes, it's a lot of responsibility, and it's usually to your journey from start to finish, or sometimes more. But yeah, just the time and effort, everything you see on the screen is done for a reason, and everything is very, very time-consuming, and, you know, people, I didn't realize that until I got into making films, how time-consuming it is. So those are the two biggest things. But definitely the first thing is the notion that you think everyone's, you know, super wealthy who shows up to these red carpet events and stuff. So,
yeah. Which is far from the truth, you know?
No, it is.
What would you say that you love most about being involved in film and doing film, having such a large, I guess, lifestyle in it? What would you say that you like the most?
I like directing. I mean, that's my favorite out of all the jobs. There's nothing more satisfying than taking something you've written and then directing it and putting it to life. You know, that's what I love the most about it. That's the best thing out of all of it, I think. Pretty cool. I don't know. It's just, that's what comes to mind first, man. But it's very interesting. You know, it's unlike any other business. you're basically creating a product. And I was talking to my buddy yesterday, and he kind of brought up a good point. It's kind of almost like being like an engineer. You're kind of, especially as an independent filmmaker, you're making a product from scratch to finish. Well, that's what I do at least. If you're writing and directing and producing it from scratch to finish, you're making it, and then you're selling it out in the market. So you're kind of wearing multiple hats. But it's a very gratifying, self-satisfying feeling when you do it. It's hard, man. It's, it's something you made from scratch. So it's pretty cool, you know?
Absolutely. The filming process for Mason Brothers, was it particularly arduous? I mean, I know that whenever you do a film, you know, so much of, you know, your time, your energy, your soul goes into it. Would you say that, I mean, was this film particularly tough to make just with everything that was going on with, like, your personal life and stuff?
Yes, it was. I had so much other things going on. I still do. It's you're working around other people's schedules and you're putting things together with your team. So you're working a lot of hours. There's been a production process, principal photography when you're shooting. So that was difficult. The thing I was very happy about is we shot everything on time. We finished in the 12-day shoot what we wanted. We finished everything on time and on budget, which is really important for me as a producer and stuff. So that was really good. But we're working, you know, a lot of hours to get it done, and we had other things going on too, other jobs and stuff, so other projects. So you know, that's always a challenge. So it's kind of, you know, you're putting in so many hours of time just to this, and then everything else. You're trying to find any type of free time you can. You really don't have any, but you have to love it and be totally obsessed with the project in order to do it. So if you're not, then it's probably not a good idea to do it. Just to do it. So much time and effort you have to put into it, and money, you know.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you, now I know that, you know, your film Mason Brothers is set to premiere, I believe it's on the 14th, on the 11th, I apologize.
Yeah, the
Egyptian Theater in Hollywood, that's a really prestigious theater. A lot of films have been released, premiered there. How does it feel to have your film being premiered there?
Man, it's the best feeling in the world. It really is. I couldn't have thought of a better theater. There's the top three theaters in Hollywood, what everyone knows about for premieres and showings, are obviously the Chinese Theater, the Chinese IMAX Theater on Hollywood Boulevard, with those all the big studio movies and stuff premieres. And then you have Arclight Hollywood, where a lot of films premiere there. Then you have the Egyptian Theater. Those are like the top three. So Egyptian, I've been to a premiere of the Egyptian, and I was blown away with the setup and everything. And inside the theater, it's a historical monument, is the way they treat it, and it is. You look at the theater, it's just so well decorated, nice, and so is the Chinese theater. But this place is really, really old school. So, and outdoor, everything is really nice and upscale. Alien, James Cameron's Alien premiered there in 1979, so it has a lot of history. Robin Hood, it's really cool. So I've been there. I knew it was about, I wanted the premiere there, and I was able to, you know, approach them and talk to them, and they gave me the opportunity to premiere there. So that's a huge, huge accomplishment. And I wanted that for several reasons, because of, it helps, it really builds the pedigree for the movie. It gives it what I wanted, and that's a great premiere at a great theater with a lot of people. I'm expecting like 500 people, so it's going to be a big premiere, and I'm excited for it. So it's a huge accomplishment, man. It's really, really, I'm really happy. Definitely really happy to have it there.
Absolutely. I know after the premiere, the film will be available at some select theaters here in the U.S. Do you know if there will be like an expanded theater release, or will it just go straight to VOD?
Yes, so what I'm trying to do is, so we have bus ads, we're going to have 40 bus ads, and it's advertising right in L.A., and it's going to screen at two theaters in L.A. so far, Downtown Dependent and Lemley Theater, Santa Monica, and it'll be out for a month from April 14th to about May 10th, around there, and then based on those sales and the exposure it does and how the premiere will help boost, you know, exposure, all these things together. We want to, hopefully, if it does well, we want to expand it to different places, different theaters around the state and around the United States, and as of right now, we're also currently right now, we're looking to the UK. There's some beers in the UK we're looking at now, and then Utah, and maybe my own Tampa. So, and then there's some other states, but if it does well, particularly here in LA, we want to expand it. Maybe New York and some other bigger places, bigger cities. That's the plan. If it doesn't, then it'll go to my distributor, because I'm releasing it theatrically through my company, distribution-wise. And then after the theatrical release, then it'll go to my distributor for VOD, foreign sales, airlines, TV, all that stuff. So if the run doesn't, if it just does okay at the box office, we don't expand it, then it just goes to them. But that is the plan, yeah.
Awesome, awesome. And Keith, how can our listening audience find out more about you and keep abreast of what you're doing?
Sure. Yeah, the best way to find out is through Facebook, probably. Facebook, go to the Mason Brothers, the film page of Mason Brothers on there, or my name, Keith Sutliff, or KS Pictures LLC. Or you can go on Twitter and find KS Pictures LLC. It has all the information about the movie and about everything that's going on. And there's my company website, obviously, KS Pictures LLC, and then IMDb and stuff, but that's not... those things, my website and the social media is the best way.
Very nice. And Keith, I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to say thank you so much for joining us on today's show, and I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be on the show, man. It means a lot to me. It really means a lot that you like the film. That means a lot. You spend like a year and a half, 2 years on this thing. I hope just I hope people check it out. If you like heist movies and crime thriller movies, Heat, Untouchable, things like those are types of movies. I really think you're gonna like this movie. I guarantee you that you won't be disappointed. And you check it out. And that's pretty much it, man. And follow us on the sites like the CTO's opinions about the movie after it's released. The reviews are going good. So looking forward to April 11th and 14th.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much, Keith.
Hey, thank you, man. I really appreciate this.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Guys, that was director and producer Keith Sutliff. You can check out his newest film, Mason Brothers. It will be premiering on April 11th. It also has a limited run. We'll put those cities in the body of this post. If you're listening to this on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your iOS device. If you've got an Apple product of any kind, you can listen by downloading the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free in the iTunes store. Download the app, search for our show name, Redefining Counterculture. You'll hear this in an interview with Keith. We're also on Android. If you've got an Android device, go to the Google Play Store, search Google Play Music, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture, and you'll hear this interview. Lastly, we're on Roku. If you've got a Roku player or a Roku smart television, you can listen to our show right in the privacy of your own home. We have over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews, all free of charge. Just go to the Roku Channel Store and search for our show name. Once you download the app, you can listen to our show, all free of charge. Awesome. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, man. I'm sorry. I know we had trouble connecting, so I've been so busy, and I know you have, so it's...
thank you for your patience. I'm normally, not this bad. It's just, I've had, my mom's been really, really sick, and thank you. And then my job, I work in local TV. I'm in Master Control, and so it's some nights I end up staying later than, depending if the weather's really bad and stuff. And so it's just been kind of a uphill battle, but thank you so much, because I'm normally not this bad. I'm normally really prompt and everything. It's just been kind of a hellacious couple weeks. But thank you for your patience.
Good, man. No, thank you. Are you in Texas or Tennessee?
Tennessee. Close.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in Tennessee. I'm in Memphis. So it's okay here. I kind of want to get away. Just working right now. My dream is to, of course, to do this thing. I really want to make my show syndicated. And so I'm working right now. I'm just trying to get all my funds and stuff, my ducks in a row, and
right.
I'm hoping to expand this, what I'm doing, but I love doing this, just like you love filmmaking.
Yeah.
It's my dream. Hopefully it takes off.
I'm the same boat as you are, man. You gotta follow your dreams. My first feature is myself, so it's like you're just trying to promote yourself. I know how it is, man. I'm going
yes.
through anything. So it's tough. It's really tough. I know how it is. That's cool. So you have your own show and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's a podcast and an internet radio station. And so, you know, like I'm on all the devices, like iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Podbean, Google Play, Roku. So I'm on all those platforms and just, you know, looking to expand. Been looking at what it would cost to get like a terrestrial frequency, like a radio dial. And so my brother, he's interested in as well. And so we're hoping to be able to put our money together and hopefully we can launch that this fall. And we'll have like an actual radio dial where people can listen over the airwaves as well. So.
Cool, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I want to listen. I want to, you know, stay in touch and
thank
you. Guys
thank you.
Out.
Thank
you,
so much, man. That means the world to me.
Yeah. No, it means a lot. If you watch the whole movie, man, it means a lot. If you liked it, I mean, I'm trying to entertain people, you know, and make a good first feature and make an impact. So
it was really, really good. And like Crime Thriller is like you said, they're so good. I think if people, you know, if people actually give it a shot, like sit down and watch it, like they would really, really love it because it's like it's so good. It's shot so well. You know,
yeah.
The story flows. Like some indie films, like you watch them and the story, you know, it doesn't flow as good, but yours, like, it actually flows so well. Like, it, I mean, there's no, I loved it.
Thanks, dude. That means a lot. You know, I don't know, like, I was telling my people on my team, so I'm like, I don't know, like, people so far, you know, so far they're saying it's pretty good. I don't really hear a whole lot of negative stuff, but, you know, I hope these people I'm talking to, I hope they're, like, being honest. I really like it because it's like.
Well, I know I am.
You know? Because it means like because you know when you make a feature, man, it's like so much money and time is put into it. It's like you really only get one or two shots. They usually say like in the film world, like if you make two bombs, two features or two bombs in a row, two bad ones, you know, then it's usually you're in trouble. Then you're like really trying to get yourself out of a hole because then your reputation is well, you made two crap films. So it's like how investors and people and viewers gonna want to trust you to watch a third one. So it's like you really
right
yeah. The first one is critical. The first one's the impact. You got to make an impression. So that's kind of my what I'm trying to do.
Absolutely.
Glad
it was good. And I would definitely say like you made like a good impact. Like I feel like it's gonna launch you to like you know better things.
I hope. Yeah. Yeah, dude. It's. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was an independent movie, you know. We didn't have, like, tons and tons and tons of money, but we made it what we could. With the camera. We had a Blackmagic we shot it on, and we had the good footage.
It's beautifully shot.
Yeah, the L.A. footage, the beginning, like, all the stuff we put in there. So, hopefully people, you know, you keep that, show people and stuff, and hopefully we'll see, man. Hopefully things will get, you know, get a bigger feature after this one, and things will keep moving, you know. And same with your
yes,
show.
Yes, sir.
So.
Yes, sir.
Cool, man.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Keith. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, man. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Likewise. Likewise.
All right,
sir. All right. You have a good day.
You too, man.
Monster Energy, welcome to Rockville Return, April 29th and 30th at Metropolitan Park with Def Leppard and Soundgarden. Also featuring A Perfect Circle, Mastodon, Chevelle, Papa Roach, Seether, 3 Days Grace, Alter Bridge, Coheed and Cambria, The Pretty Reckless, Highly Suspect, Nothing More, and The Offspring. Welcome to Rockville. 2 days, over 40 bands, on 3 stages. Tickets are on sale now. Head over to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com for GA, VIP and package tickets, additional information, and more. Welcome to Rockville, fueled by Monster Energy Drink.